ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल वी वुड लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट्स हु हैव कम फॉर अवर संडे फेस्टिवल इन दिस हॉट आफ्टरनून। सो टुडे इन दिस संडे प्रोग्राम वी ऑल्सो हैव His Holiness Bhaktu Vasudev Maharaj. He is very illustrious devotee, very senior disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. So, till the time he comes, we will discuss something from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, that is the purpose of human form of life. The purpose of human form of life is to come together, speak about Krishna, glorify Krishna, chant His names, and lead a life in a way, in accordance with the plan of the Supreme Lord. All of us are actually seeking for happiness in all our endeavors. We are working hard throughout the day, foaming, traveling in local trains, spending so many hours, the purpose to get some wealth, to give some happiness to the family. So the whole idea is to be happy and satisfied. But Srila Prabhupada explains, or as Srimad Bhagavatam speaks, that happiness can come only when we live in accordance with the plan of the Supreme Lord. Because we, being part and parcel of the Supreme, Jiva Atma, as it is explained, is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality. So when one is reinstated in one's constitutional position, that is to be servant of the Supreme Lord, servant of Krishna. If one actually states oneself in that position, then one can be actually or truly be happy. That is one's constitutional position. As Srila Prabhupada gives the example that a fish, if it has to be happy or satisfied, it has to be in its constitutional position. In its original state, that is, to be in water. So similarly, if we, the human beings or spirit souls in general, they have to be happy, the only way is to live in accordance with the plans of the Supreme Lord. Or as in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada explains, that if we are not living as per the plans of the God, it's like you have government and there are government laws. So if we do not follow the laws of the government, we are offending the government, or we are actually acting against the laws of the government. In that sense, we are bound to be caught and punished. So similarly, leading a life based on the teachings of the Gita, the Bhagavatam, which are like the law books, we can lead a happy and blissful life. Hare Krishna. I'd like to seek the blessings of Hare Krishna Nartaki Mataji, senior Srila Prabhupada's disciple, before I speak. Need your blessings, Mataji, to speak something. So continuing further, so there are various leelas or pastimes which the Supreme Lord performs to give various wonderful lessons to us. So today we will discuss some very, very pertinent and important lessons in short time we have before we have the illustrious Maharaj come and speak to us. A small episode from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, the Brahma Vimohan Lila, which is called The Bewilderment of Sri Brahmaji. So this pastimes illustrate this real point which we were discussing, that if we try to make our own plans or try to defy the plans of the Lord, we will not be successful in our endeavors to be happy. So this pastime very beautifully illustrates this pastime, this point. To be happy, we have to act on the platform of being the servant of Krishna. So this pastime begins after Krishna killed the Aghasur. And then Shukadev Goswami, while he's narrating these leelas, pastimes, he describes that after speaking about Aghasur, when all the children, they came back to their homes in Vrindavan, they described this Aghasura episode after 1 year. Krishna killed Aghasura when he was 5, and when they described, Krishna was 6. So Parikshit Maharaj was very attentively hearing this pastimes. Of course, he was hungry, thirsty, not had any food since 3 or 4 days were there since this narration is going on. And he's aptly hearing that. So at that position, Parikshit Maharaj glorifies Shukadeva Goswami that for narrating these wonderful pastimes. And he explains that these pastimes are like nectar which are nourishing me. Therefore, I am not tired. So please keep on explaining me in detail that why such a thing happened. That Krishna killed Aghasura when he was 5, and this being described when he is 6. So then Shukadeva Goswami, very, very pleased with Maharaj Parikshit, he speaks, Sadhu Prishnam Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavata Uttama Yannutanasya Ishasya Shranvan Api Kathamuhu. It's a beautiful verse which Shukadeva Goswami is in turn glorifying Parikshit Maharaj. He's saying, Shukadeva Goswami says, O best of the devotees, O Mahabhaga, O Bhagavat Uttama, O most famous Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely. For although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, we are perceiving His activities to be newer and newer. And Prabhupada, the beautiful purport, explains that this is Shukadeva Goswami's verdict. Who is Mahabhaga, or who is greatly fortunate? One who has developed a taste for hearing Krishna Katha, the pastimes, the narrations of the Supreme Lord, His different incarnations. He is really fortunate. He has the real wealth. He is Bhagavat Uttama, the best of the devotees. All of us want to be gather a lot of fortune, to become, to be listed in Fortune 500. But here, Shukadeva Goswami is referring, this is real fortune, Mahabhaga, to be attached to discussing about Krishna, to glorifying Krishna, to chanting the names of God. This is what Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Parikshit Maharaj for. He is referring for his attachment to Krishna as Mahabhaga. Parikshit Maharaj was the emperor of the whole universe, whole world. But Shukadeva Goswami, the great soul, the Mahatma, he is looking at the real wealth. So this is the real wealth which we are looking for, to become really fortunate, the true fortune of life. Then to yearn to become attached to Krishna Katha, to hearing about Krishna and His holy names. Then we can become Mahabhaga or greatly fortunate. So we have to earn or yearn to get this wealth. And then Shukadeva Goswami further on glorifies Parikshit Maharaj, and then he begins this narration of Brahma Vimohan Leela. So Krishna killing Aghasura, and then he moves on with all his coward friends to the river Jamuna, where there are beautiful lotus flowers, the bees are humming, the birds are chirping, and a very crystal clear bluish waters of Sri Jamunaji, the soft sandy banks of Jamuna. Krishna is pleased to see the beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan in that spot. And then he decides, so today we will have our lunch here at this place. Krishna always wanted to have fun and picnic, so he decides, let us have it here on this bank of Sri Jamunaji. And then all the cowherd friends who had packed their nice prasad, that is what Krishna and when his cowherd friends, they would go. The cowherd friends and their mothers would pack nice prasad for their children. And they would know that Krishna would also accept what we cook for our children. So they would cook really nice preparations and give them like picnic or lunch box with Krishna and his cowherd friends. And then Krishna sat like the whirl of a lotus flower, surrounded by leaves and petals. Krishna sat in the center, and all the cowherd friends gradually made circles around Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami describes very beautifully that their faces were looking very bright, full drishah, that they were very looking effulgent, happy and blissful. And Prabhupada, beautiful purport, explains that this is the purpose of Krishna conscious society, to bring Krishna in the center of lives. Because they had Krishna in the center, therefore their lives were lit up, they were happy, blissful. And that is what one's life should be composed of, whether we are a brahmachari, grihastha, or whatever ashram we are. If we have Krishna in the center, then we can have our faces, we can have real happiness, full drishaha. Then we can be happily situated in wherever we are. That is Srila Prabhupada's beautiful purport. And this is Srila Prabhupada says, that is the reason we have created this society, to keep Krishna in the center of all our activities, all our lives. That is what Srila Prabhupada explains. And then all the cowherd friends, some of them get some leaves to make the plates. They didn't carry plates. So some of them got the leaves, some of them got them some flowers, some of them got the barks. And somebody just put it on the stone and they just begin to relish and honor the prasad. And they would somehow, something they would like, they would give it to Krishna. That Krishna, please taste what my mother has sent for you. And in this way they were having nice fun jokes. Krishna was joking and all the cowherd friends, they were laughing. Another significant point in this is that everyone was looking towards Krishna. And Krishna was in turn looking towards each one of them. Like Krishna was, everyone was seeing that Krishna was looking at me. Suppose if I look at this direction, there are devotees here, I will not be able to see. Or behind, I cannot see. But Krishna is, his innumerable potencies, he can satisfy everyone's desire. He can please his devotees, all the innumerable devotees. There is never a no vacancy in the spiritual world. There is place for each and every soul. There is no recession in the spiritual world ever. There is place for everyone there. So Krishna was satisfying each and every devotee there. And then having different nice times, Krishna is eating. Of course, at the same time, all the demigods and Brahmachi who are there in the above, demigods in the heavenly planets, they are there above the sky and they are seeing these wonderful leelas of Krishna. Because specifically they came to see the Agasur leela because they were very afraid of Agasur. Even the demigods who would drink nectar every day, they were afraid of Agasur. And so they had specifically come to see that Agasur's deliverance. So after that, they were seeing this beautiful pastime that Krishna is eating his from his cowherd friends. He's eating the jutha, the remnants from his cowherd friends. So the demigods, they knew Krishna as Yajna Bhuk, one who accepts the offerings of the sacrifices. One who accepts the sacrifice, the bhoga, which is offered in the sacrifices, the sanctified food. And here, that same Krishna, their supreme lord, is sitting with simple cowherd village boys and eating simple food, eating with a left hand, which was unthinkable at the Vedic time. And he's eating the remnants. Like one time Madhu Mangal was there, he had brought some buttermilk to drink. So it was hot. And so Madhu Mangal wanted to drink alone, of course, to enhance Krishna's pleasure. So he went in the side and wanted to drink buttermilk. He put gulp the buttermilk. And Krishna noticed that. So when Madhu Mangal was had buttermilk, his mouth was like this. And Krishna just splashes it on his cheeks. And the buttermilk just spills over Krishna. So when Brahmachi and all the demigods, they were seeing this, that he is the supreme lord who is being worshipped by the hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis. How is that he is taking this remnants from simple cowherd friends? This was very bewildering to them. And then Brahmachi, of course, he knew the powers of the Supreme Lord. So he wanted to see another, some of the more pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And he wanted to also test his power. So therefore, he enacted this leela. So when Krishna and cowherd friends, they were enjoying the prasad, some of the calves in search of some fresh green grass, they move further on. And then Krishna, who sees, and the cowherd friends, when they see, so they are disturbed. They are telling Krishna, our calves have gone away. Krishna says, do not worry. I will personally go and take care of the calves. Do not worry about that. So the calf, Krishna personally goes. And he said, Krishna tells the devotees, you enjoy nicely. I will personally go and search for the calves. So then Krishna goes and personally is searching. Shukadev Goswami very beautifully describes, he is Vishwavitta, who knows what is happening in every corner of the universe. So that Krishna, to bewilder Sri Brahmaji, is enacting as if searching the cows in the caves in the forests of Vrindavan. So Brahmaji, taking the opportunity, he just takes away all the cows. And when Krishna is searching for the calves, he takes away all the cowherd boys also and takes it in his place. Of course, Shukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes that Maya Arabhaka, that Brahmaji could not touch Krishna's eternal associates, the Brajavasis. Like for in the case of Sri Ramayan, we know that Mother Sita, it was not that Ravan could take away actual Sita, Mother Sita. He could not touch Krishna's internal potency. So Krishna similarly created the Maya children for Brahmaji to steal. So the original children were there still. And Brahmaji stole those children, the calves and the cowherd boys. And then Krishna, understanding the will of Sri Brahmaji to give pleasure to the calves, the cows and the mothers of those children, Krishna assumed the form personally through from his Vasudev expansion. He simultaneously expanded himself into the exact number of the missing cowherd boys and calves. With their exact bodily features, their particular types of hands, legs, other limbs, with their sticks, bugles, flutes, their lunch bags, their particular types of ages and forms, and their special activities and habits and characteristics. That is Krishna's unlimited potency. He could do that. Exactly the same habits, same characteristics, same dresses, same bugles, everything the same. That is Krishna. Krishna's supreme Aishwarya. So then Krishna in this way expands. And then as usual he goes back to Vrindavan with his cowherd friends who were actually Krishna. But that is something special when happens when Krishna enters Vrindavan. When Krishna goes to the houses of Brajabasis, the mothers, they had special affection this time when they saw their own children. Of course, Bhagavatam explains that in Brijabhumi, in the mothers, they had more affection for Krishna than their own children. That was the love of the Brajabasis, the standard of the love of the Brajabasis. There are many mothers here. They have that experience that they love their children the most. But for the Brajabasis, Krishna was the dearmost object. And many times they had desired that if Krishna were born in my house, I would have also dressed him, taken care of him, fed milk. So Krishna, to reciprocate with their desires, performed this leela. That is Krishna's opulence. Through one of his pastimes, that is Krishna's expertise, through one of his pastimes, he satisfies so many devotees' desires and teaches us so many wonderful lessons to be learned. So then Krishna is there, and these cowherd ladies, they were also surprised that how we are having so much affection for our children, which we never experienced before. So they are feeding them nicely, taking care of them nicely, and Krishna provided this facility for them for one full year. And also the calves, when they entered the cow sheds, they also experienced tremendous pleasure and bliss in offering milk to these calves. They were licking and licking those calves. Shukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes the word he uses. They were licking, they were glintaya, as if they were swallowing them. Such intensely they were licking. Of course, later on we will see that even these cows, they gave birth to some of the new calves. Usually the cow is very attached to a small calf when she gives birth. But they had more attachment to these elder calves, which were actually Krishna. And they were feeding them the milk. And one time, Shukadeva Goswami explained, this is just a few days before 1 year was about to over, that these calves and cows, they were on the cows were actually on the Govardhan with the elderly cowherd men. And these cows were in the Vrindavan area, nearby the town with Krishna and the cowherd friends. And when Sri Balaramji, of course, when this leela took place, Sri Balaramji's birthday was there, so he did not go with Krishna. So he was also not aware of this whole episode, what is happening. So then Balaramji saw this astonishing, that how these cowherd ladies who loved Krishna more are now loving their own children also equal to Krishna. So then these cows who were grazing on Govardhan Hill, they saw their calves beneath grazing. So they immediately ran the rough path from Sri Giriraj with their necks and tails high. They were rushing, moving very fast. And the cowherd men who had come to take care of those cows, they were also astonished and were in great anger that they could not control their cows. And then when these cows go down, they just saw their calves and began to feed them milk and lick them. And same time when the cowherd boy men, they started running. And when they came down, they saw their own children there taking care of the calves. So they were actually also Krishna. So then their hearts were also melted. And their tears of joy were falling from their eyes. And they also embraced their children and smelling their heads. So in this way, when Balaramji was seeing this, he was astonished to see this. And then he asked Krishna, so what is the matter? How is this happening in Vrindavan? And then Krishna, of course, explains this thing to Balaramji. And then when this whole episode was going on, Brahmaji, who is also a great devotee of the Supreme Lord, he was also afraid that he knew that he is going to play with fire. So he didn't want to take much time. He immediately, after one moment, after stealing the calves, he came back. But as we know, there are differences in time calculations. The relativity is there. So Brahmaji's one moment here, 1 year had passed. And Brahmaji is here. He's trying to understand what has happened. He sees everything is same. The cowherd friends are playing nicely with Krishna. The calves are there. And he is completely bewildered. He's thinking with his four heads, what is happening? He is thinking probably Krishna brought those calves and the cowherd boys when I was moving around. Or is it the new ones? Or which are the real ones which I had stolen or which are here? So he's completely confused. Shukadeva Goswami beautifully explained, Evam sammohayan Vishnu vimoham vishvamohanam svayeva maya ajopi svayam eva vimohita. It's a beautiful verse. Shukadeva Goswami explained, Evam sammohayam Vishnum. That he was trying to bewilder Vishnu, sammohayam Vishnu. And who is Vishnu? Shukadeva Goswami explains, he's Vimoham, his name is Vimoham, who can never be mystified. Vishwamohanam, who bewilders the whole universe. Brahmaji is trying to bewilder Vimoham, who bewilders the entire universe. And what was the result? Swayam eva maya ajopi. Swayam eva vimohanam. That he himself is getting bewildered. So that is the result. And Prabhupada, very beautiful purport, describes the point which you were discussing at the beginning of the class. Prabhupada explained that we should give up all our tiny efforts in defying the arrangements of Krishna. Instead, whatever arrangement he proposes, we should accept. This is always better. For this will make us happy. The more we try to defeat the arrangements of Krishna, the more we become implicated in Krishna's maya. It's very, very pertinent. This is the main important lesson we learn from this pastime. That the more we try to defy the arrangements of Krishna, the more we will be suffering. We live in accordance with the will of the Supreme Lord as the servants. Then we can be completely happy and satisfied to live in the will of the Supreme. And how do we understand what is the will of the Supreme? He has given us the manuals, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the various scriptures which Krishna has given. And Krishna sends his representatives, the sadhus, who give us that what is the will of the Supreme Lord. And when we understand the will of the Supreme Lord, then we can lead a peaceful and happy life. And there is no other way out in this material world to be happy. As we were hearing this morning, that just to lead a simple, happy Krishna conscious life, that is the only solution in this material world to be happy. And then Brahmaji is completely bewildered, the whole thing. What to do now and how to go about the whole thing. And then finally, he surrenders to Krishna and he is repentant that he tried to judge his own master. And then by Krishna's mercy, he could see that all those cowherd friends, the cowherd boys who were there, were actually Vishnu Murtis and the beautiful form of those Vishnu Murtis being rendered service by various devotees, the Brahmaji. He saw even himself, Lord Shiva, Brahma, all the demigods, all the living entities offering worship and puja to those Vishnu Murtis. So that beautiful darshan was given to him. And then everyone was serving in different capacities. And finally, Brahmaji is repentant. He understands that it was a big mistake that he had done to try to judge his master. And then finally, Krishna revealed him the Vrindavan. It's a beautiful verse which describes Vrindavan. With this, I'll just read the purport of this and then we'll conclude and then we will have Maharaj come and speak. Beautiful shloka, Shukadev Goswami describes that when one surrenders to Krishna, understanding that I am insignificant in terms of Krishna's position, as Prabhupada in the purport also explains, that one should not try to defy the powers of Krishna. One should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before a greater power. And then Krishna, by his mercy, he reveals Vrindavan. Yatra nisarga durvairo sahasa nirmrigadayo mitra ani avijita drutaruta tarkshadikam. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. So this is what awaits us if we also try to give up our independent efforts to be happy and try to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada very beautifully describes that Vrindavan is a transcendental abode where there is no hunger, anger or thirst and there is no envy. Prabhupada explained that envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification, for the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. That is the mysterious design of this universe. That is Krishna's plan. And if you try to satisfy Krishna, serve Krishna, Krishna wants to serve you and make you happy. That is the unique position. That's the reality of this world. If you want to try to make ourselves happy, we become miserable. And then Prabhupada explains, even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep and supply milk to the tigers, saying, come here and take a little milk. That is Vrindavan. Even the tigers are also devotees in Vrindavan. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, the man is happy. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. And this same facility is available here also. If we create a friendship, a society, where we have Krishna as the center, only desire to serve Krishna. When we keep Krishna in the center, then all our independent desires are centered around Krishna. Then we can have a union where we have a society where there is no envy. Prabhupada comments that one may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious, but because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan, we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? That is material life. The Vrindavan inhabitants think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat it. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, Prabhupada concludes this purport. But, very hope, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one can come to this platform of non-envy. So that is the goal of our sadhana, to go back, to please Krishna and go back to the spiritual world where there is no envy, no hunger, no thirst. That is where our real estate is. People here in this world are trying to build their own houses, spending huge amount of money trying to build some real estate. But this is where our real estate is, Vrindavan, where there's no hunger, anger, or thirst, and where everyone is trying to serve Krishna. And in return, everyone is happy, blissful with Krishna. And then Brahmaji, he's there. He comes down from his swan carrier and offers obeisances to Krishna. Usually the demigods, they don't generally step on the earth. They just usually stay above. They think it's too contaminating. But this time Brahmaji, Lord Brahma voluntarily giving up his prestige as a demigod, bow down on the ground before Krishna. Although Brahma has one head in each direction, he voluntarily brought all the heads to the ground and touched Krishna's feet with the tips of his four helmets. Although his intelligence works in every direction, he surrendered everything before the boy Krishna. That is his position. So now we have the great fortune and blessing of having His Holiness Bhakti Vasudev Maharaj. We will formally introduce him now. And it is our great blessing and fortune that he is here in Shri Radha Gopinath today. And now we request him to enlighten us by his realizations and years of dedicated service. Thank you for the patient hearing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.